Hello and welcome to Mediumship Matters with me, Anne McIntyre. How are you doing? Oh, such an interesting 24 hours for me, being completely triggered by that voice of doom inside of me, telling me that my demonstration wasn't good enough to share, etc., etc. And I think it's important to talk about that. I want to be honest. That's the whole point for me of this podcast, is being honest, is sharing it, warts and all. But it doesn't mean that I find it easy to do that. And it doesn't mean that I don't get triggered afterwards with all the shoulda, woulda, couldas. So one of the things that I wanted to talk to you today about was sort of the experience going forward and things to expect when you are a medium. And part of that was started by this week reading for somebody and giving them a message from the spirit world through the cards that I know they didn't want to hear, and I know wasn't a reflection of what they wanted. And the difficulty in that, because it's easy to think that doing a good job, in inverted commas, for the spirit world is everybody loving everything you say, you loving everything you say, this amazing flow of energy and wahoo, we're cooking on gas, here we go. And actually, sometimes doing a good job for the spirit world is saying things to people that they don't want to hear. Now, this is, I'm not talking here about things like health complaints and stuff like that, because you know, you guys know, I have a real issue with people. I mean, legally, we're not allowed to do it in the UK anyway, but I always think a health complaint's an interesting one. Now, of course, for some people, it will be necessary to have it acknowledged, and I'm not saying never mention anything, but also for some people, if you say to them, I'm feeling something around my tummy here, can you feel that? Oh, I think you might want to get that checked. That in itself, if we talk about law of attraction and creation, can create health problems for people. So you have to be very careful. What I'm talking about here is, in particular, I think this comes up in love readings. So you have somebody that wants to know when they are going to meet the one. And the problem for that is twofold. Number one, I don't believe that there is just one. I think we come here to work with different energies, different people for different experiences and different growth. And although I do believe in love, I believe in a thing called love, I don't believe in there's you and there's me and we're two halves of a whole and that's all we were ever meant to be. Because I think people change, and as you know, I'm a big believer in free will and choice. And there have been many times in the past 20 years that I've been with my husband, 20 years, where I think either of us could cheerfully have buried the other one under the patio and gone on to live a life that was fulfilling and happy. And that doesn't mean that we don't love each other. It's just relationships are challenging. And sometimes you can stick it out and sometimes you are just completely done and you can't. But this idea that then the first person wasn't the right person for you and your second marriage is the right person for you, I think is incorrect. Because I think you have to go through the process with the first person to become who you need to be for the second person. And sometimes you might do what my husband and I have done, is manage to just about hold on together and cling together to the wreckage of the ship, but have grown together. And there's nothing right or wrong there. And what happens is we have this idea, this fairy tale that's out there, where there is going to be this beautiful prince charming, princess charming, whatever charming, and they're going to come in and make you feel complete and make you feel whole. And of course, the spiritual journey is not like that. They're not going to come in and fix you. And the biggest irony being, if you want to attract somebody that's going to bring you all of the things that you want into your life, you're the one that has to get yourself into the right frequency of energy in order to attract them. It's not that they will come and you will rise together. It's that you need to rise and then they will be an energetic match to you. So it's always a challenge as somebody that does readings and wanting to be truthful always. When you get somebody that just wants you to tell them who their soulmate is, what happens if your soulmate is your sibling? What happens if your soulmate is your best friend that you sat down the pub with and had a good chin wag and answered all of the questions that were driving you mad? What happens if your soulmate is your dog? What happens if you haven't got one soulmate, but you have in fact got 100? Has anyone ever had one of those I can draw your soulmate readings? I keep thinking about getting one just for kicks, just to see. I mean, it would be hilarious if it drew my husband, wouldn't it? But it's just such an interesting thing. We limit, again, this is humans, limiting, limiting, limiting. And it's really hard as a sitter when you want to be told that that person that's treating you like poop on a stick and not caring for you and not loving you and not honouring you, when you really want to be told that they are the one for you. That's really hard. And equally, it's really, really hard when you are the medium and you can feel that person's need and their desire for the answer, which is stick it out. He does love you really. Even though he's off with somebody else, he will realise what he's missing and he will come back and you will be validated. When all you are hearing from the spirit world and all the cards are saying are self-worth, self-love, they've got to do the work. And you know they don't want to do the work. And that's true of so many things, I think, spiritually. When you step up to be a reader for the spirit world and be true to the spirit world and somebody's true potential, then you have to give the hard truths. And you can't mollycoddle people because mollycoddling is a form of enabling. And I wouldn't be doing my work for the spirit world that I should be doing if I sat there going, there, it's so tough. You've got no options. These are just the cards you were dealt in this life. I'm so sorry. When I actually know that they have a huge amount of potential there for them that is available. And if they would just step into the right energy and start working on themselves and working on their mindset and working on their healing, it would be there for them. And this is true of many things, I think. We've also got, let's talk about potential here, because this is always an interesting one. Why is it so hard to give ourselves the permission to do the things that we want to do? So many people book readings with me just to check if it's okay if they start working with the spirit world, just waiting for that permission. And in honesty, that's what I did when I first started. But of course, the spirit world, in complete, undeniable, unending, infinite love, are going to say, of course we want you, we're looking forward to working with you, this is what we want, because of course they do, that's the dealio. And yet we find it so hard to give ourselves these things and have this permission, because again, I think, as always, all roads lead to self-love, all of them. Doesn't matter which path you're on, it's about loving yourself enough to do what you want to do, to say no, to walk away from that relationship that's not making you happy, to put in boundaries. Always self-love. And sometimes we have to just get it wrong to get it right. And that is the process. Sometimes it doesn't matter how many people will tell you what you should be doing, how many readings you can have that open you up to your potential and your promise. you sometimes just have to sit right at the bottom and fail so you can pick yourself up. And what about all the readings that you've had on the way there, where you've been dissatisfied, where you thought there was some magical words going to pop out of that medium's mouth and change everything, but actually all that medium is saying is that the change is within you and that you're the one that needs to leap up and grab it. What does that mean? And it's always fascinating. It's fascinating how it's a journey and not a linear line from one point to another, because sometimes I think we are given things or want things from the spirit world to unlock something else within us. And I've had a few people recently that I've had readings where the spirit world have been very much, go for it, go for it. This is it. This is brilliant. Take the opportunity. And then in taking the opportunity and thinking that the green path was their path, all of a sudden something amazing has happened on the yellow path and now they feel conflicted. And when I talk to spirit about that and I say, look, you told them to go down green and now something amazing is tantalizing them from yellow, what does this mean? Where should they be? Sometimes it's very much that you were pushing yellow, pushing yellow, pushing yellow, having this idea of where you needed to be. And what we needed you to do was completely let go of yellow, put all of your focus onto green, all of your energy onto green, so that yellow had the space to grow, so that it had the space to expand, so it had the space to show you the path that you could follow there. And again, no set path. It's up to you whether you now follow yellow or green. Spirit aren't going to tell you. You need to tell you. And that's hard. So I think this is always the problem when you're doing any form of mediumship. And I often focus on evidential and how difficult that is. But actually, it's pretty difficult doing card readings as well, because people don't want to do the work. And that is sometimes the biggest challenge that you will face, is these wonderful people who are sat in front of you who just want you to give them sympathy and tell them that they've had a really unfortunate incarnation here and hold on for the next one. And actually what they need to do is make the changes, stick to the changes, work at it. I mean, self-love is a full-time job, and don't let anybody tell you any different. You've got to be focused on you and your needs and your thoughts all the time. And that can be interesting. And I think, as always, that as a medium, we need to talk about the changes that happen to you as a result of reading for people, because I personally believe that every single reading I have ever done for anyone has shaped me in some way, has changed me in some way. So when you do an evidential link for somebody and their loved ones come in and you can feel their love and their pride, and you can hear the spirit world saying, I thought I was going to have longer, live your life, choose happiness. When you sit in that again and again and again, that changes you. But sometimes it's just such an amazing thing to sit in the energy of it and look at somebody on the screen or look at somebody in your audience and feel. See with spirit's eyes is the best way I can phrase it. It's like they're looking through your eyes at their loved one, and you are full with that love, that wonder, that magic of the spirit world. And the same goes for cards. You can be reading for somebody and they'll be going, oh my goodness, this is so spot on, this is so spot on. And you'll be sitting there thinking, God, this really resonates with me. I need to pay attention to this. I need to do this. And so again, it's spirit showing us this collaborative energy that we all work in all the time, where it is spirit and the cleverness, the intelligence, the wonder, the power of the spirit world, the sitter and their needs, but also the spirit world meeting your needs in your development. Because if you step up to be a medium and work with the spirit world, you set up on a very lengthy lifetime path of self-improvement, self-reflection. And I think that that is wonderful, but also a bit nuts, really. I can't believe the stuff that they managed to do. So, yeah, I just want you, as you're going on your journey and you're developing and you're offering your vulnerability to people and you're letting them know that you're a medium and you're doing a reading for them, and it's never easy, but sometimes it's amazing. And regardless of whether it's amazing or absolutely pants, you will learn, you will grow, and you should celebrate that. That's what I think. Oh, I'm in such a lovely mood today, aren't I? So, I also wanted to talk today about physical mediumship. Now, somebody messaged me, emailed me ages ago, and I'm so sorry. I know you were a man, but that's all I can remember, and I can't find your comment, wanting to talk to me about whether I believe in physical mediumship and whether I think Ouija boards are dangerous. And yes, I believe in physical mediumship to some extent. And yes, I love a Ouija board. So I think when you look back at physical mediumship through the ages, and if you've ever watched The Awakening, you will know what I'm talking about here. There was a lot of stuff, especially in Victorian times, where there was obvious fakery. It only takes a short amount of browsing on the internet to see somebody with a piece of cloth hanging from their nose that is supposed to be ectoplasm, or some trickery with a camera where it looks like a spirit has stood beside them. And I do believe, for the most part, they are fake. Those pictures are fake. It's not that I don't believe these things can happen, because I do, but I think it's that thing of not being able to accept that mediumship is an experiment and it's not going to work every time that you want it to. And I think that fakery was a necessary part of the journey for spiritualism. I think it opened it up to people. People saw those photos, and that bit of physical proof perhaps opened their minds up to the spirit world in new and exciting ways. So although it's easy to look at things and go, oh, that is quite obviously a muslin cloth hanging from your face there, that's embarrassing, it's also important to understand that perhaps that served a purpose. A bit like me and my love of Stephen King, which to anyone who doesn't understand mediumship would think that has got no place in spirituality. It's demons, it's fear, it's scaremongering. But I also learnt so much from it and from The Stand, my favourite book of all time, that I think they had intrinsic parts in opening me up to the medium I am now. Also the film in the 90s, Stigmata, absolutely, is probably still why I can't quite settle in a church environment the way that it would be so useful if I could. So I think it's easy to look at things like that in retrospect and go, that was fake. And I think it also nowadays taps into the when people are paying and people turn up, it can be really, really pressured to get physical mediumship. And this is the thing with physical mediumship. It used to be everywhere. It used to be really, really popular. But I think that it's one of those things where you can't guarantee it. And if you can't guarantee it, do people really want to come? And it's a brave medium that can sit in a space where nothing happens for an hour and a half and go, sorry guys, that's the way it goes. Thanks for coming. And let you leave again and not feel like they've done a bad job. So it's hard. And I don't know if you've watched Surviving Death on Netflix, but if you haven't, I do recommend it. And there's a medium on there who, in my opinion, and I don't know this lady, I've never met her, is has the sitters from hell, I'm going to phrase it that way. And she puts herself in such a vulnerable space of showing mediumship to the masses. And then the guy that she does it likes to prove spirit. And even though spirit have jumped through 1,000 hoops and proved themselves to him again and again and again, she does some readings for them and then they tear it all apart and say she could find it on Facebook and they don't believe in it and they don't agree with her. And she, I don't know how she feels because I've never spoken to her, I've never met her. But for me, I just thought, God almighty, that sucks, man, to put yourself in that space. Anyway, she does physical mediumship. And one of the things that always stuck with me in that was they were talking to the people that sat in her group. And one of them said something along the lines of, we meet every week at this time, at this space. If it's your birthday, it doesn't matter. If you're going to be away, it doesn't matter. You come. We plan our lives around these get-togethers because we have to be that committed to get the space where physical mediumship can happen. And I don't think in today's society of wanting it now, there are many people that will sit for months on end and get no results but hold that faith as they are changed and the energy is built and the spirit world learn to work in the environment with all of the people that are there and the energies that are there. And so I do believe in physical mediumship. I've seen a lot of table tipping. I've done a lot of table tipping. And see, this is the fun thing about table tipping is it only works when the energy is good and high vibe. And my students who will be listening to this will be laughing because they will know that sometimes we've not been able to get it to go. And in order to get it to go, we have had to put black lace Superman on and dance around like absolute wallies, laughing our heads off to build that energy so that it could rise. And this is the problem with physical mediumship. If you've got someone there who's in a bad mood or a neggy space, or they're sitting there with their frowny face on, or they're come on and prove it, that's a harder energy to get physical mediumship in. I'm not saying impossible, I'm just saying harder. Now, Ouija boards, these creep people out, don't they? Honestly, it's hilarious. I love them. I think they creep people out because they've been used in a lot of horror movies. And the problem is there's lots of people that have had spooky experiences with spirit boards. And when I have asked spirit about that, they have always said to me that it's physical mediumship is incredibly sensitive. And if you have somebody that has a negative energy, or a negative expectation, that can often be stronger than the energy that the spirit world are trying to build. And so it can take things over. So if you've got someone fixated on the fact that the spirit world board is going to spell out murder, then it's going to spell out murder, where your nan might be on the other side of it trying to say hello. And this was a massive learning for me with spirit boards, Ouija boards, that they're for communication to your loved ones. You don't have to use them to hunt in that way that I was talking about with Dan the other day. You don't have to use them to speak to spirits you don't know. You can use them to communicate with your loved ones. And when I first started working with spirit boards, I used to bless all the space and light the candles and ask the angels to oversee and protect us from anything negative, because that was my belief system then. And now I don't even do that. I just trust in the spirit world. I wouldn't work with the spirit world if I thought there was anything bad in it. And so I just sit, and usually it's my grandmother that comes through.
She bloody loves a spirit board. And that's always really nice. And the funny thing is, if you do an hour and a half of a spirit board or something like that, an hour with a group of people, you can even get people's personality coming through on the way that they move it. So my spirit board is not posh. It's two pieces of plastic, solid plastic, one white, and then a clear one to go over the top. And I have written the letters on it with a permanent marker. And then I lubricate the top of my spirit board with a little bit of coconut oil. And then I use a shot glass. I tried buying spirit boards from retailers. And I just found they didn't move very well. And it was frustrating me. And they were a little small and it was a little squishy. And so I made my own. And I bought the plastic off eBay. It wasn't anything too exciting. And it's really fascinating to me when it can move really, really slowly and carefully for one spirit, but really fast and a little bit silly for another. And they will crack jokes and they will share memories and be evidential in such amazing ways that it never fails to blow my mind. And I find them a lot of fun and very, very uplifting. I don't find them spooky and haven't for a long time. And the only time when I ever did get anything spooky through them is when I believed that there was spookiness to be found. So what does that tell you? Yeah, so I think physical mediumship is amazing. I am always asking the spirit world to knock. They never do. And I think that might be because I would literally lay an egg and you would hear me make a funny noise like a chicken that's been stood on if they did on my podcast. But I would love it. But I also wouldn't. But I would love it. But I also wouldn't. my friend Abby and I, she had a spirit box and an EMF meter, I think that's what they're called. And it was hilarious. I live opposite a graveyard and we went round that graveyard at night going, is there anybody there? Is there anybody there? And there was nothing, absolutely nothing. But when we came back to my house, her grandfather came through on it, and I used to call him Disco Grandad because the lights on the EMF, he used to love to make them flash like it was a disco. And that was just amazing for him to come through that way and really validating for us. And shout out to Sammy, who at AFC, we had great fun with a spirit box and some really evidential stuff from the spirit box. So I do absolutely love a bit of physical mediumship. I don't think I'm the best at it because I'm too bloody impatient. But I do love to do a spirit board. I do love to make those little communications. There's something for me in the merging of the physical and the non-physical where the energy is tangible. I mean, I did a table tipping once with my students where the surface of the table, it had a velvet tablecloth on it, looked like water with waves. And we could all see the physical breaking down, what you thought was solid becoming liquid almost, and moving and rippling. I mean, if there's anything to show you what an illusion this physical world is, it's stuff like that that make you go, holy heck, can't believe it. So I have no fear from any of those things. And I did spooky spirit boards when I was a teenager, but honestly, what a weird space to give any energy to work. Complete fear, silliness, a complete lack of respect or knowledge for the spirit world, going down some alley, smoking your fags even though you're too young, probably drunk some cider, waiting till midnight and then doing a spirit board and expecting a demon to come in. Like, of course, of course. And the spirit world always bring us amazing physical stuff. I've just remembered when I was a teenager, my friend's grandmother had died and we were at their house and her TV kept turning on and off, turning on and off, turning on and off. And somebody, it might have been me, it might have been someone else, it was probably me, went, if you're Becky's now, and I can't remember her name now, prove to us that it's you. And a can of hairspray or deodorant, an aerosol, came off the side, off the drawers, rolled across the floor, and then stood up in the middle of the floor. And we all went, ah, it was her nan. I mean, honestly, kids. But I think that's part of the problem for physical mediumship, is we put a lot of limits in it. So if you're going to do anything like that, number one, make sure you're not going to be silly about it. And if you're going to be silly, just stop. Just say, okay, I'm not in the right space here. I'll come back to it later. And then start expecting it to be your loved ones. Your grandmother is not going to come in and haunt you. She wants to say hi. And again, don't expect it to happen overnight. It takes time, dedicated effort and dedicated practice and changing energy for you. Like all forms of mediumship, when you step up to start doing it, your energy body and physical body will go through an attunement process. Your energy will be changed so that you can be that generator of love and light that the spirit world needs to work in the physical, in a physical way. And so when you step up for this, you will find that you are very changed by it. When I used to teach trance, in our trance group, which is when the spirit world come and enter your body and talk through you, we were only doing the actual, you know, one of us would work for 10 minutes, but we'd be in the energy of it for a couple of hours because by the time everyone had had a turn. And we would always need a couple of weeks to recover from the magnitude of being in that energy. So any form of mediumship, but I think particularly the ones where there's physical work going ahead, they do need you to change, be attuned, be shifted, moved into a different frequency, and you can expect yourself to be tweaked. So always the long term. But I have to be honest and say once more, if I honestly thought there was anything to be afraid of in the spirit world, I would not work with the spirit world in my own home, which I do. I am not afraid. It's nothing but magic. So there we go. I hope you have enjoyed today's podcast, and I will catch up with you again soon.